Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
306, as we have the mask ordinance here in St. Louis and St. Charles. I'm sorry, scaring the people in St. Charles. St. Louis City, St. Louis County. St. Charles County off the hook. Jeffco off the hook on this one. Look, is it going to impede people from going out and hurt the economy? That's one of the concerns that people have. You know, you won't want to be willing to go out there as much. You're going to be afraid. I think there is something to that. I guess my position at this point, just because everyone is freaking out, I, in my heart of hearts, believe that the whole mask thing has a minimum effect. And the health experts will tell you 18%. But every single story I hear is about parties or gatherings or something like that. It's not about someone walking past you at the QT when they're filling up their gas tank, okay? Let's at least be honest with that. We got a couple of stories here this afternoon that are breaking, including the fact that the White Sox are going to play the Cardinals in the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa on August 13th. A lot of rumors about that. The Yankees were supposed to play, and the White Sox and Cardinals, since they'll play each other quite a bit, if there is a baseball season, that looks like it's official. This is kind of cool. They're going to make a movie. My friends at Lionsgate Pictures emailed me this information today. They're going to make a movie about Kurt Warner. I mean, it's such a great story. And 20 years later, it deserves a retelling for sure for people. I mean, you got a whole generation out there that doesn't know this story. So American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. Dave Klein, did you see who got cast as Kurt Warner here?
Well, I would assume you, because you guys just have so much of the physical traits in common, but I'm going to guess it's not
we
you.
Do. You know, I have been told, some people have said that there's a resemblance. I don't really see that one. I like the Christian Bale comparison better personally, because I look exactly like him, right, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. No, but I've not seen who's been cast.
But anyway, that's what people say. But Zachary Levi was a guy that was in the show Chuck. He was really good in season two of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and he's going to star as Kurt Warner here. I think he's going to be great. So he was also in Shazam, the movie Shazam, which is a very, very funny movie. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, these things are just getting cast now, so we're probably talking 2022 for a release on that. So this is a story. See how much time I have. Don't have a lot of time. I got to do this. Maybe we'll do it at 3:30, because there is a story that's in the Hollywood Reporter today. I mean, I'm just shaking my head at so many of these things right now. One thing I think people need to realize, and I think this is a big problem with just the media overall, when you read stories, so I read this story today about Hollywood and the police, a deep, complicated, and now strained relationship. Now, the woman who wrote the story, Tatiana Siegel, I don't know how old she is, but I bring it up from this perspective. You got a lot of young buck journalists out there at newspapers, because they don't pay anyone to do these jobs anymore. So you can basically get anyone with no experience, and they want to change the world, and they're agenda driven. So I see a story like this about the police, and you know, it's actually the cover story for the Hollywood Reporter. Maybe she has a lot of experience. Maybe she is a little older. My guess would be she's not. And she's writing this story in the way that says, yes, all these police shows have really created the problem. We're glorifying police. I mean, some of the details in here, I don't think people have heard, with some of the stars that are on board with defunding the police and some of these other things that have gotten pretty radical. I think I'm going to have time to get to that a little bit later at 3:30 this afternoon. My friend Phil Kogan coming up on the topic of entertainment. He's the host of The Amazing Race, and he's got a brand new show called Tough as Nails. They started casting it here in St. Louis. We helped Phil out back last year when he was trying to find people for the show. And I think we succeeded. We'll ask him about that coming up next. Tough as Nails will premiere next week on CBS.
Let's Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Man, we need entertainment, so I'm glad that Phil Kogan is with me this afternoon. He's got a brand new show called Tough as Nails, which is going to premiere on CBS next year. He's the host of The Amazing Race. He's been a good friend for more than a decade, and he's back with us this afternoon. Phil Kogan, how are you?
I'm holding up well. I've been thoroughly distracted preparing Tough as Nails. As you mentioned, when I was casting, it was back in October, and then we shot the show in February before all hell broke loose. And thankfully, we got everything in the can and shot before we were all sent home. And now we've been making the show with everybody being at home, which has had its challenges, but the show is complete, and I'm very excited that it will be on CBS, 8 p.m., July 8th, two-hour premiere. We just found out last night that they want to do 2 hours back-to-back, so I hope you're ready for 2 hours of Tough as Nails.
I cannot believe, first of all, that was October. I had it in December, so my math was all wrong. I think we were the first city, and I saw several people get up on that stage and do push-ups, and you were testing people. Maybe you should, at this point, sort of explain the concept of this show and then what people had to do to try out. And then, of course, I'm curious to see if any St. Louis participants made the final cut.
Absolutely. So the show was it was a show created, motivated, and inspired by my working class family, in particular my grandfather, who was a mechanic, an aero mechanic, a gunsmith, and an all-round jack of all trades, could fix anything. I have his tools in my garage here in Los Angeles. He used to craft all the handles of his tools to fit his hand, so they fit my hand perfectly. I always felt this sense of pride coming from coal miners, gold miners, builders, farmers, people that make things work, people in the trades. And it always annoyed me when I would hear people talk down about people who worked in so-called blue collar jobs, or what we're now saying is essential working jobs. It just annoyed me because that's my family. And my dad,
right,
and my mom and dad got a chance to go to college and get a higher education. And we after World War II, we pushed our kids into this idea that college was what it was all about. Like, you weren't anything unless you went to college and you got a degree. And it was sort of looked down upon, the idea of working in the trades. And I just want us to get back to acknowledging, and particularly at a time like this, we realize the value of people who work in the trades, and that education doesn't just come from a college degree. Education comes from hands-on experience, real life experience, and that there's some really smart people who work in the trades and who build things and fix things and make things work, who allow us to have power, a roof over our head, food on our table. You think of a farmer and what a farmer has to do every single day. One day they're helping a cow give birth to a calf, then they're fixing the carburetor on a tractor, then they're fencing, then they're making hay, then they're fixing a road that got washed out in a flood, they're yep. fixing the side of a building and a window. I mean, they know how to do everything. You can't tell me that that's not educated and that's not smart. That is incredibly educated and smart. These people
absolutely.
That have that connection
absolutely.
With the physical world. And so that was the inspiration behind Tough as Nails. I wanted to say, stop with all your highfalutin, you're better than anybody else because you got the fancy degree. And listen, we need those educated people. And an education is power. I just wanted to say education comes in many different forms, and that we don't drive past people working on buildings, and that we don't look down on anybody for doing what they do, because they are essential to our world and our life, and they deserve our respect. So
yeah.
That's first and foremost what the genesis of the idea was.
And I agree. The thing is, I think, Phil, really, I do, in the aftermath of this, it's going to probably take years for all this to shuffle out with the pandemic. But I think there are going to be more emphasis and more people looking at trades. Look, I have a sponsor, my HVAC sponsor, Air Comfort, Corey Malone's told me he's got techs that are, you know, making six figures. So I think you're absolutely right about that. So how does the competition show? What will people be doing? And then tell me, did anybody from St. Louis make the cut here? There was one guy that morning. I don't know if you remember him. He was like 70 years old. I thought we were going to have to call, you know, 911, but he kept going. He kept going. And he was working hard.
Yeah. I'll just tease it by saying, yes, there is somebody from St. Louis. You're going to fall in love with this particular person. He's 62 years old. I'll tell you about him in a second. But St. Louis is going to be rooting for this guy. He is amazing. He's TV gold on top of being super tough. What I had people do when I traveled around the country and I was casting, I had them step up on the stage and do a test that I called a brutal truth test, which is 8 minutes of as many burpee push-ups as you can do in 8 minutes. Now, you might ask, why a burpee push-up and why do we need to have that test? Well, it's not just about how many they did. It's also about, I wanted to see how gritty they were. Like, did they keep on going? And did they not quit? Did they just continually have that desire and that grit to never, ever quit? Because toughness isn't just strength, endurance, agility. It's also mental toughness. And that's one of the things that we have on the show is we're redefining what it means tough. It's not just about being really tough and playing in the NFL or jumping in a ring and fighting in the MMA. Tough is also about getting up for 30 years straight to go to the same job, getting up in the dark, driving an hour and a half to work, putting in a solid day's work. Somebody like Lee Marshall, who is from St. Louis, who is a roofer, who has hands that the size of dinner plates, who's got calluses on his hands that he's so proud of, who's put 10,000 roofs on in his lifetime, who doesn't complain about going to work, who's got to be America's toughest granddad. And, you know, is he tougher than somebody in the NFL in terms of the strength? Maybe not, but boy, is he tough, this guy. He's got toughness that a lot of professional athletes don't have, which is the ability to go to work every single day and lift thousands of pounds of shingles up onto roofs and get the roof done and take pride in that. So that's what I was looking for traveling around the country, was people from all walks of life, the best of the best in their given trade, to dispel some of the myths about what it means to be tough, and to celebrate again the jobs that really matter, the people that really matter, the people that keep our country working every single day.
I think Lee was the guy that I was talking about. I can't wait to see that. Tough as Nails premieres next week. Phil Kogan is my guest. So I meant to tell you this. I don't think I texted you when I found this, but a couple of months ago when we were all looking for things to do inside the house, I was cleaning out my office, and I came upon a clipping from 2009 written by Gail Pennington in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, in which I had just done this ride with you. You were riding across America. This is the first instance of me meeting Phil Kogan. I want to represent this accurately. He invited me to go on part of this ride that he was doing across the country, made a documentary about it. So Gail thought, hey, let's talk about Mark participating and do a story. So she calls Phil, and Phil's response, these are exact quotes, yeah, he did okay, he hung in there, but I had a big issue with his legs. His legs, she says, he had some of the hairiest legs I've ever seen. He might actually set a record for the hairiest legs. That is a winter covering right out of hibernation. Reminded me of when I studied near Neanderthal man. You could plait that hair. His knees are a tumbleweed. He's lucky the other cyclists didn't tie him down and wax him. That's my first encounter with you 11 years ago when
wow.
we first
and,
met.
And how have we...
That's how you treated me.
Wow, how have we remained friends after my playful jab at you? I mean, wow.
You know, it's funny, I think, and I told you this, and I don't even think you realized this until a couple years later. What we ended up doing with that, as a reminder, some people might remember, we turned that into a fundraiser for Bike MS, and I did end up raising a fair amount of money. And if we hit the target, we were going to do a waxing, and we did a waxing, and unfortunately, this is out there on YouTube, and it was humiliating. But yes, this that certainly did lock down the friendship for 10 years, and we've had a good time either riding the bike or talking about TV shows. Now, the one thing that I know about you, Phil, outside of cycling and all these other things, you travel more than anyone else that I know because of your job, because of the Amazing Race. You have been on an airplane. What's the last time you've been on an airplane? February?
February 28th. February 28th.
That's got to be weird.
I flew back from London to Los Angeles. It's the last time I've been on a plane, and it is super weird because I've never been on the ground this long, ever. And it's odd. It's really odd. I see planes, and I think I'm meant to be on it. I've missed my flight, or I have not been stationary for this long in my life. And it's weird. I got to tell you, it's weird.
Yeah.
But I've had more sleep than I've ever had in my life. I'm sleeping a lot. I'm dreaming more than I've ever dreamt before. And I'm working out more consistently than I've ever worked out before because I haven't got that break of, you know, sleep deprivation and the travel schedule of flying from place to place.
Well, I know you haven't been home either, and you want to see your mom and dad in New Zealand is rather a unique story when it comes to the pandemic, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm very proud of what New Zealanders have done, and our prime minister, she basically just got, you know, was a lot of tough love, basically just locked the country down, stopped all flights in and out, stopped domestic flights, stopped all movement. Made it mandatory for people to stay home unless they were essential workers, and then had strict protocols about essential workers and how they functioned, and strict rules about who could go outside. She stopped all old people from leaving their houses altogether. So my parents were in that age group, and so they literally were not legally allowed to leave the house. She knocked it down. Just a couple of weeks ago, we had a period of 35 straight days with not one case of COVID. We did have some foreigners come in. They were given special dispensation to come in because they had a relative who was dying. It just so happened that those two people had COVID, so they did bring two cases in. But then because of the way the system works, and because they're so on top of monitoring every single person, they were able to jump on it really quickly, isolate those two people, and get them away. So they've essentially knocked it out. I mean, it's gone.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, which is it's remarkable. Now, look, we live in an isolated country, and we were able to lock off the borders. But I do believe there's some lessons to be learned about what we did that we could do, because I remember looking at flight tracker at the time that she stopped all flights, our prime minister stopped all flights. There wasn't one plane above New Zealand when normally there would be hundreds. And there wasn't one flight, not one. Nobody was moving. And I looked over at the United States and Europe, and there were thousands of planes, thousands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't do it half-assed. You've got to go all out. And I applaud all of the essential workers who've put on PPEs and gone onto the front lines and faced up to this, and all the other essential workers that go and wipe down grocery stores in the middle of the night and do all of that. But I do think it's our collective responsibility to do whatever we can to do the simple things to stop it collectively. As a big family, we got to see us that way. We can't. It's not us and them, or we're in this together. We're in this together.
Phil Kogan, great to have you on. I'd be remiss in my duties because I know I'll hear from race fans if I don't ask one final question. The race is coming back, right? I mean, you have a season in the can, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a season in the can. It'll be on in the fall. And just to be clear to race fans, race being on in the fall has nothing to do with Tough as Nails being on July 8th. We didn't push race out of the way. Race is on in the fall because CBS needs some solid, strong programming for their fall schedule. Yeah, because stuff is not getting made. So that's why it's there. Nothing to do with this new show that I'm doing. But yeah, we'll be back.
Awesome. All right, Phil, good to hook up with you, and we'll talk soon. Good luck with the new show. I can't wait to see it, and I can't wait to see our St. Louis participant next week.
Oh, Lee Marshall, do me a favor and have him on, will you? Because you're going to love this
guy. I will.
He's gold. He's gold. Please have him on and introduce him to St. Louis.
We will do it, Phil Kogan. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, my friend.
I'm so encouraged and excited to hear that Lee made the cut because, and I'm going to have to go back and check my phone. In my mind, it was December, but Phil's absolutely right. It was October, and I'll go back. The iPhone makes it real easy. I went out there for the auditions that morning. Phil tried to coax me into doing some burpees. I thought better of that. Those things are hard. So this guy, Lee, he gets up there. I think he sort of, we'll ask him this. We talked to him. I think he kind of checked this whole thing out on a whim. I think he was walking by or doing something. Anyway, he was just incredible. So I'm excited. I have video of him doing burpees and just wearing himself out. We'll hopefully have Lee on next week. It was great to hook up with Phil. Phil Kogan, by the way, talking about, you know, working out and stuff like that. The guy is an incredible athlete. He rode across the country after we met in 2009. Some people might remember this story. I went out to California. I think it was 2010, 2011, and I did Bike MS California. Rode 100 miles one day, and then I think 50 or 60 the next. He did it on a fixed-gear bicycle. That might not mean a lot to some of you out there, but that's just one gear. And essentially no brakes either. So, I mean, you stop pedaling, and then the bike stops moving. But it's he was incredible when he did that, and he did it probably in about 90 minutes quicker than I rode 100 miles a couple of years ago. All right, so we have a mask mandate that's going to kick in 7 o'clock Friday morning for St. Louis County and for St. Louis City. So we found that out the earlier this afternoon. Mayor Crewson made the announcement. We're going to find out a little bit more maybe this afternoon from Dr. Garza. He has a pandemic task force update this afternoon, and we'll see where the numbers are, and he may say something about the masks as well. Here's Dr. Garza.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope everyone's having a great day so far. We're back to share our regional data with you. As you'll see here in a minute, we continue to see some elevation in our numbers across the region, which is something that we're concerned about, and I think something that we need to address and as well as pay close attention to. And it's really a reminder to all of us that the virus is still out there and that we must do our part to keep it from spreading and to keep cases from increasing at a rapid rate. One way we can do that is by wearing a face mask, and that's something that we've talked a lot about lately, and we'll talk more about today after we go through today's data. And then after that, we'll take some questions from the media. So these slides are familiar to people that have been with us since we began doing this in April. So here's the chart showing our hospital admissions. And we're starting to see a small uptick in this number, as you can see from the graph. And again, it shows the trend in daily new hospital admissions since early April. So today we're reporting 22 new COVID admissions, which is down from yesterday, but still our rolling average is around 18. As I've mentioned many times before, we follow the trends and not necessarily the day-to-day fluctuations. And you can see from our trend line that it does have a slight tick up. And so this gives us a little bit of pause. So just to put this into perspective, we were as low as 14 about 2 weeks ago. And so as you can see, we're certainly above where we were just here recently. And we'd really like that number to go down and stay as low as possible. We know it won't ever get to zero until we have a vaccine, but still, we like to see it staying low. Following that is our hospital admissions data, and so that's starting to see a slight increase as well. So this is our daily hospital census of COVID-positive patients, and you'll remember that we changed the way that we show this data to reflect only COVID-positive patients. And today, our overall hospital census increased from 154 today. From yesterday, we had 143 confirmed positive patients. And again, our rolling average today, represented by the blue line, as on our other slide, it's average of the past 7 days. And today, it's 139, which is up from 137 yesterday. And again, always concerning when we see that rolling average creeping up. We'd like to see it stay low and get as low as we can. Now let me show you the daily hospitalization numbers. So again, these are COVID-positive patients only. So as you can see on the screen there, we have 154 hospitalizations today of confirmed COVID-positive patients. We have 40 in our intensive care units. And we have 23 confirmed COVID patients on our ventilators. Now, these numbers have all either increased or stayed the same since yesterday. Now we'll take a look at our presumed COVID or suspected COVID patients. We have 93 in our hospitals today. We have 11 suspected COVID patients in our intensive care units and 4 on ventilators. And just as our other numbers, these have all either increased or stayed the same since yesterday. So again, it's a concerning data. Moving on to our good news slide. So yesterday, the task force healthcare systems discharged 14 patients, bringing our cumulative total to 2,905. And again, a shout out to all of our healthcare workers who have made this possible by providing excellent care to all of those patients. So moving away now from our data and to talk a little bit about what I'm sure has been a really busy day regarding the mask issues. First, I want to recognize the progress that this region has made. We've come really a long way, and our numbers have dropped significantly since we first started this back in April. But that recent spike in cases across the region is concerning, and the increase in hospitalizations is concerning. And we don't want to go backwards. We want to continue to move forward with our reopening plans. And in order to do that, we all have to do our part. Which brings us up to the issue of today, which is the issue of mask wearing. So as most of you know, just a short time ago, St. Louis County and St. Louis City announced a new public health order requiring individuals to wear a face mask or a covering at all times when inside buildings or outside, when social distancing isn't possible. Now, there is really clear and convincing evidence that wearing a face mask or a covering can decrease the risk of transmission of COVID. Multiple studies have shown that this simple yet effective measure can slow the spread of COVID-19. However, it also only works if the majority of people are doing it. And as you can see from this graphic, the more people that wear them, the less risk there is with being around each other. And so this is a very simple cartoon from the New Jersey Department of Health that shows the highest risk is if nobody wears a mask, and of course the lowest risk is if everybody wears one. And as I said before, there's a lot of good science out there that supports that notion that if the majority of people in the community wear a mask, you can effectively reduce the transmission or the transmission rate that we've talked about before to below 1. And so again, it's a very low barrier tool that we can use to really impact the transmission of virus in the community. So a couple of things about types of mask covering. So there was a study that came out actually today that showed the different types of mask material that can be used to prevent aerosols and droplets from getting into the atmosphere, either from coughing, sneezing, or even just talking. And there's a fair amount of science out there as well about what types of materials are best for face coverings. Now, this slide we took from the University of Nebraska, which is they have a biocontainment center, and so they do a lot of study on things like influenza and other types of contagious diseases. And so as you can see, you can use simple materials at home to make a mask, or as everybody knows, they're available out on the market as well. I would, though, say that I would refrain from buying surgical masks or N95 masks because we'd like to save those for the healthcare market. And a lot of these masks, if made from the right material and constructed properly, can be equally effective at even preventing infection as well as preventing people from aerosolizing or letting droplets come out. And so that's important as well as knowing what type of material to use. And we'll be talking more about that later in the week, I'm sure. The last couple of slides I wanted to talk about are who is wearing a mask. And so this is data from a Goldman Sachs study, the financial institution Goldman Sachs, that just came out today as well. And it shows the proportion of people in the different states that are wearing masks. And as you can see, Missouri is right at around 40-50%. But the main takeaway from that study was the more people that wear masks, the less economic damage there is. And by that, they're saying if less people wear masks and there's more spread, there's more cases, then you have to take dramatic actions, such as shutting down businesses and slowing down the economy. And so from economic sense, it also makes sense to wear face masks. And so that was the main point of this article. But this cartoon was just merely a reflection of what states are doing right now as far as mask wearing goes.
All right, that's Dr. Garza. Yeah, we've been talking about this all day. The order will take effect on Friday morning, St. Louis City, St. Louis County. And I guess we have to make sure that we're wearing the right type of mask. Here's where I'm on board with this, what he said about the economy, because I feel so strongly that we're doing well. We are not Houston. We're not Los Angeles County. We're not Arizona. Arizona is in bad shape right now. And it's really not a mystery. I'll be honest with you. I got a call from a friend of mine 3 weeks ago who goes there on business to Phoenix on a regular basis. He said, you wouldn't believe this. I went to a restaurant in Phoenix. This is 3 weeks ago. The timeline is perfect. People were everywhere, jam-packed, no masks. Nobody was wearing masks. The bars, the restaurants, that's what happened there. So we've been doing a good job in St. Louis. I think if this helps, and it does help the economy, that's a good thing. Now, some people would argue the opposite is true, that the mask wearing just scares people, and that's going to lead to less economic activity. I guess we're going to find out soon enough here. We'll take a break. We'll continue the break. We'll come back with more. We still have an audio cut of the day as well on KMOX.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, 343. I want to cover a couple things here before we get to audio cut of the day. First and foremost, I was doing show prep this morning, and I was watching Fox, and I heard Sandra Smith come on, and I had to rewind the DVR because she said this.
A moment now for some news about the co-anchor of this program, Ed Henry. After a recent claim and investigation involving sexual misconduct in the workplace, Ed has been terminated from Fox News. In an internal memo to employees, Fox News Media CEO Suzanne Scott and President and Executive Editor Jay Wallace addressed this very serious issue in an effort to bring full transparency to it and emphasize that we will continue to strive to maintain a safe and inclusive workplace for all employees. Rotating anchors will be sitting in with me until a replacement is named.
I got to tell you something. That has got to suck to do what she just did. And I could tell from the look on her face that it was hard. Savannah Guthrie's had to do it. Gail King's had to do it. I don't know the specifics of Ed Henry and what he did. There were some allegations that had come out a few years ago, and there were some rumors of extramarital affairs and things like that, but obviously something with a coworker there that Fox thought was serious. And then I want to talk about this here this afternoon, and maybe we'll bring it up. We're doing, by the way, the Reardon Roundtable will take place tomorrow. I'm taking Friday off. We're going to get out of here for the holiday, take a few days off. So we've moved the roundtable up to tomorrow. Jane will be here, the executive director of the state GOP, Gene Evans and Steve Butts, and we'll do a Raby rant as well. So this is in the Hollywood Reporter right now. It's the cover story, Hollywood and the Police, a deep, complicated, and now strained relationship. Let me read a little of this to you right now. The entertainment industry has always had close ties with law enforcement, but with talent calling for a clean break, those bonds are more fraught than ever. It's just standing up for what we all know is not correct. In the weeks leading up to June 23rd, Kendrick Sampson was sleeping at most 5 hours a night and marching in a Black Lives Matter protest every other day. At one rally in Los Angeles, he was hit by police rubber bullets multiple times. Undeterred, the actor best known for playing Issa Rae's love interest on HBO's Insecure crafted a letter addressed to Hollywood power brokers. We demand that Hollywood divest from police. With the help of Thor Ragnarok's Tessa Thompson, he corralled a group of A-listers, Michael B. Jordan, Viola Davis, Idris Elba, to sign the open letter that blamed the entertainment industry and mainstream media for having, quote, contributed to the criminalization of Black people, the misrepresentation of the legal system, and the glorification of police corruption and violence that has had dire consequences on Black lives. I mean, where do you start on that one? Where does this go? So now there's this pressure on Hollywood. And by the way, we got a St. Louis guy, Sterling K. Brown, Gabrielle Union, Lee Daniels called on the industry to break ties with the police and demanded that cultural institutions, including studios and theaters. Sterling K. Brown, I love you, brother. Seriously, this is ridiculous. They are asking for studios and theaters to publicly condemn the institution of police as a violent force that exists to further class divisions and capitalistic exploitation, which harms our communities. Now, come on, most of you out there, you know what Hollywood is all about, but that's pretty radical there. I mean, he's just on that show, This Is Us, and he's a nice guy, right? I like his acting. That's radical. Let's call it like it is here. So you have black actors in Hollywood, and now Hollywood is on its heels, and they're going to have to do something. Did they cancel NCIS, Los Angeles, Houston, St. Louis? Do we have an NCIS St. Louis yet? We should. So what is Hollywood to do? Wow. Because they're going to be scared, these studios and these executives. They better be listening. If they don't say the right things, I guess Sterling K. Brown and Gabriel Union and Michael B. Jordan aren't going to take $20 million or $10 million or $5 million to make a make-believe story of fantasy in most situations. Not truth. I mean, I guess Michael B. Jordan could be a real superhero, you know, in real life. I don't know. But this is where we are in 2020, ladies and gentlemen. We need to publicly condemn the institution of police as a violent force that exists to further class divisions and capitalistic exploitation, which harms our communities. Sterling K. Brown, 348 at KMOX.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Chris Cuomo interviewing Mark McCloskey, he of AR fame in the Central West End last night, CNN.
Guy stands in front of me, pulls out two loaded pistol magazines, snaps them together in front of my face, and says, "You're next." Okay. If you were there, Chris, I think you'd feel like you had a right to defend yourself as well.
Absolutely. Somebody takes out magazines or ammunition and clicks it and makes a direct threat to me, I would feel threatened 100%.
And that's what happened to me.
And look, I know that you're going through a process with this. I welcome you having counsel. If you were within your rights to do what you were doing, it should be adjudged as such. I wanted to talk to you about the broader implication because it's just a horrible picture of what's going on in America right now. So to me, it's not about what's right and what's wrong just in a court of law. It's about what we want right and wrong about how we treat each other. And that's why the president retweeted this tweet. Mr. Watkins, you know it. And Mr. McCloskey, you know it. He retweeted it because he liked the image of white resistance to this movement. And I'm not saying that was fair to you, but we know that's why he did it, because that's why he deleted it. I wanted you to speak for yourself.
I'm glad you're a mind reader, because no one else thinks you are.
Oh, in fact, he didn't delete it. Good. Makes my point even more.
No.
you didn't say that. It was said to me for me. I'm thinking about something else where someone was screaming white power in a video that the president retweeted. He deleted that one. He didn't delete the one of you.
Yeah, I mainly did that as cut of the day because Chris Cuomo embarrassed himself so much. I think you saw what he did there. He thought it was the video from the white nationalist dude that Trump retweeted last weekend. But the 15 minutes of fame for McCloskey's continues, and they were on CNN last night. That's your audio cut of the day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.